A record number of Americans expected to fly and drive this Labor Day holiday period. Ticket prices and gas prices are down. ABC's Alexis Christophorus has more.
You'll be paying the lowest gas prices in about 3 years. According to AAA, the national average for a gallon of regular, now $3.33. That is more than 50 cents cheaper than a year ago when gas averaged $3.82 a gallon. And that relief at the pump may stick around for a while. According to Gas Buddy, prices could dip below $3 this fall as gas stations switch to less expensive winter blend of gasoline later this month.
Rapper and radio personality Fat Man Scoop has died. His family, in a post on Instagram, confirmed his death, saying they have lost a beacon of light. One of his biggest hits, Be Faithful. Video circulated online appears to show Fat Man Scoop collapsing while performing on stage last night in Connecticut. No word yet on the medical emergency or cause of death. Michelle Franz in ABC News.
The Todd Almost Show.
Co-founder of the Lincoln Project, Rick Wilson.
Trump is now pre-gaming for Republican elections boards at the county and state levels across this country to try to put their thumb on the scale for Trump. And if they don't win on that front, they may resort to violence again, which is why at the Lincoln Project, our goal is not to beat Trump. Our goal is to beat Trump like a rented mule. Our goal is to beat Trump so bad that his bruises have bruises.
The Todd Almost Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station. And on the app, Matt Nair on air.
You know, Greg Buck, I think it is time I need a little time away.
Jane, are you going on vacation?
Yes, I am going on vacation. I feel confident you're going to do a great job. You got Calvin.
Wait, I'm hosting?
Yes, dear, you're going to be hosting.
I thought you were taking me with you. Okay, I guess I will host the show in your stead. Thank you very much.
I trust you.
Matt Nair on air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
When you think about Labor Day and what it means, do you think about Wisconsin? You should, but let's go back to explain. In the mid-1800s, activists pushed for a day to recognize workers' contributions. President Grover Cleveland signed a law in 1894 making the first Monday of every September a national holiday. So where did the first labor union form in Wisconsin? Wausau? Green Bay? Milwaukee? The answer coming up. The Badger State has an impressive history. Bricklayers and carpenters formed unions in the 1840s and were the first to push for workers' compensation and unemployment insurance. Now, did you guess this all happened first in Milwaukee? The state's labor unions formed in 1847. The National Labor Union didn't form until 1866, 19 years later. Leading the way for other states is this slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Such as excessive stormwater runoff from these old sites. Cuborn says cities like Janesville aren't alone in confronting this problem.
There are multiple sites throughout the United States where we've seen things offshored, some things reshore, and communities are sitting on these blighted assets.
Janesville has encountered roadblocks, including working with a private company and getting the GM site fully free of contamination and its remaining concrete removed. And a recent Brookings Institution report outlined how the area has been able to survive without solely relying on heavy manufacturing. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Sunny today, a high near 83. Mostly clear tonight, lows around 57. Sunshine and a high near 75 for Sunday. Mostly clear Sunday night, lows in the upper 40s. Sunny, 75 for Labor Day Monday. Tuesday, sunny and a high of 77.
Right now, it's 82.
Maggie Dawn.
Next up for Maggie and the Millionaires, we'll be talking with Saru Jayaraman. We'll also check in with Dr. Ben Weston, medical advisor to Milwaukee County, and Chef Adam Pavla.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
From the rolling bluffs of the Driftless region to the pristine shorelines of Superior in Michigan, from the Northwoods to the Kettle Moraine, Civic Media broadcasts across all of Wisconsin. For all of Wisconsin. Take a trip with us across the radio network to hear from communities throughout the state. This is the Civic Media Spotlight.
Kicking off this week's Civic Media Spotlight, we'll hear from Busted Pencils. This week, Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny break down the shocking news from the Thomas B. Fordham Institute, a conservative anti-public school think tank that has only now concluded that systemic poverty has an impact on education.
Busted Pencils, it's fully lighted education talk. It's truly educated educators talking education. Got a lot of participation right away. Cindy, L.A., Tom, Keith calling in. Yeah, we were talking about the Electoral College. We're moving on to that, though, kind of talking about new findings out of the Fordham Institute, not to be confused with Fordham University, the Jesuit institution in New York City. But socioeconomic factors may influence the academic achievement gap. In fact, if you read very much all the way to the end, one of the most strongest indicators they point out is parental income, which the last time I checked, parental income has something to do with poverty. How much money your parents make and the education of your mom. Throw those two together, which are, guess what? Those are truly socioeconomic indicators. Guess what happens? The achievement gap, particularly for the racial achievement gap for Black, white, and Hispanic students, gets expanded, Johnny Lupinacci.
Yeah, here's the thing, Fordham, sorry, a little bit too little, way too late. We've known this we have evidence. We have research evidence for decades now, and it goes longer than that.
Right.
That socioeconomic factors, and I'm going to say that's also code language for like what Tim's talking about, like the systemic way poverty exists in this country, the lack of access to healthcare, food deserts, the young people who don't have access, young animal people who don't have healthcare access, mm-hmm. right? The ways that we fail communities, right? So, but for decades and decades, I can remember when I was first becoming a teacher 20 some years ago, I had a professor, and you could tell him the family income of a household, and he could tell you within a tenth of a point what that student would get on their ACT and SAT. He had mathematical algorithms that could give you you input an income and then combine family income out of a household, put it into the computer, right down to the last kind of thing. He could tell you exactly what that kid's score is, know nothing about them, never have looked at their grades, and be accurate to within a tenth of a point. So this is the way that we have known for a really long time. It doesn't really matter who you are, right? The systems are stacked in a way where if you're born into poverty, you have uphill the whole way. You have no opportunity to pick yourself up from the bootstraps, as so the myth might tell. Now, occasionally, like winning the lotto, people make it. And do they work hard? They sure do, Tim. So I don't want to take that away from those folks that are listening out there who's like, man, wait, I was poor when I was young and I've worked really hard. I wouldn't exactly call myself not poor now. Like I think most people in America probably listening aren't exactly identifying as billionaires, millionaires, or wealthy to say, but they sure worked hard. But doesn't work for everyone. In fact, if you are at a disadvantage when you're born or in the community you're in, you will likely stay at or go lower than that level in this country. And that's a sad thing. So a little bit too little, way too late, Fordham. And sorry, doesn't annul you of your sins in my book. Some of us who are familiar with this. Oh, man. What's that? That's the Democracy in Action bell every day at the same time at the 40-minute mark in the hour. We ring the bell, and that signals that we are going to award the Democracy in Action Award. Today's Democracy in Action Award, you know what? It goes to everybody who values justice.
Mm.
That's working not too little, not too late, right? So I know there are a lot of people out there say, cut them some slack. The Fordham Institute is finally agreeing with us. Well, I'll tell you what, the us way back then, and it wasn't even me, it's generations before me who were saying, you know what, this is systemic. Poverty matters and we can do something about it. And when we do something about it, it changes lives. It improves our entire country. And it starts oftentimes at education and healthcare and early childhood, you know, kinds of ways. And to systemically ignore that, especially and to ignore that in marginalized communities, I hate that term. It should be people who have been excluded from the power and privilege that the political majority has held for far too long. But, you know, we often refer to those as minority groups. Don't like that language, but that'll help identify. Have suffered disproportionately and are more likely to experience factors of poverty. So Fordham, a little bit too little, a little bit too late. So Democracy in Action Award, you know, those are core democratic values that support democracy. Go to everybody who was justice the whole way.
But you know, Johnny, you pointed out to the prediction ability of socioeconomic. And just a reminder for people, we have had on the show Christopher Tenken from Seton Hall, who has really come in to say, you want to know what your test scores are going to be? All he needs are a few socioeconomic factors, very much like you said, Johnny, and his ability to predict the test scores before the students take the tests. He can do that without knowing anything other than a few socioeconomic factors. I think that is really, you know, again, pointing that out. But, you know, the other part here, too, is that we talk about this often. How do you make sense of media? You know, and this is one of those things, the education media here, Johnny, and the title of this article, I'm going to put the title out here, Socioeconomic Factors Partially at Play in Racial Achievement Gaps. Partially at play. So you can hear right there, there's kind of this hedging. Oh, I don't know, maybe. All the way to the end of the article, though, the findings. Household income was the biggest contributor to the Black-White achievement gap. Okay, so how do you go from the income, household income being the biggest, and you have a headline, Jess, that says, well, partially.
I mean,
partially.
Technically, Tim, 90% is partial.
I guess this is one of those where you're just like, you're kidding me, right? And typically, so this kind of means also comes a little bit of a critique for K-12 Dive, who put this out there. They're the ones who titled this piece from, you know, and again, the research they're citing is coming out of the Fordham Foundation. And I know the Fordham Foundation probably said, hey, can you give us a title that's a little bit more up our alley? You know, I mean, socioeconomic partially at play. Hey, and you know what? And by the end of the article, which most people don't read to the end of the article, you could throw in there that big household income was the biggest contributor to the Black-White achievement gap. And Johnny, as you point out too, how many people listening right now are going, duh, we already knew this. It's like, yeah, you know, and that's why we're putting it out there though, too, is to say though, our advocacy and the continuing talking about this and laying out the realities that these are the things that truly affect academic achievement. If you really are concerned about students doing well in school, hey, now finally, after 40 years of yelling that poverty don't matter, the reality is that poverty does matter. We have been saying that for going on 40 years now. In fact, the advocacy that we have been putting out there, I would take this as an accomplishment that we have finally pushed an organization like the Fordham Foundation to actually square with the true research and the research findings out there that says, hey, when you're dealing with academic achievement, you got to look at household income. And man, guess what? One of their other recommendations, though, too, boy, I mean, talk about a big one, but early childhood education should be well funded.
Fancy that.
Incredible.
Well, And in fact, Johnny, that is one of the insights in there too, is that the investment that you have pointed out many times, that the reason we're doing these things are the investments early on, and we know they pay off in the long run. So guess what? An investment in early childhood education, early childhood interventions. Now, they don't go in besides the early childhood education. They don't talk about the early childhood interventions that we might point out that would be, you know, like you said, access to food, healthy food. Maybe if you're in Minnesota and the governor there, who's now the vice presidential candidate for the Democrats, Tim Walz, where they said, you know, they're not banishing books in Minnesota. They're banishing hunger, free breakfast and lunch for those kids. Because guess what? That issue, that economic condition, hunger, big contributor to the academic achievement gap. So we're going to go after that. Healthcare, yeah. Shelter, all of these issues that may or may not necessarily be included in early childhood advocacy. So Fordham, if you're saying that all kids need access to, quote, preschool, I'm not so sure that that's exactly what your research is saying. Your research is saying poverty, anti-poverty issues connected to early childhood education. Because, Johnny, there's actually a pretty good amount of research out there that early childhood education without the intervention of poverty reduction actually doesn't go that far. It doesn't go that far because it just doesn't, because we go back to the number one idea, the hierarchy of needs, Maslow's hierarchy of needs. When you need food, shelter, healthcare, and clothing to actually survive in this world, survive. That's just to survive in this world. Then you want to start moving up to the thriving categories of Maslow's hierarchy, where you got to do a little bit more. But to get up there to that learning, that self-actualization, you got to have things like food, healthcare, hunger, shelter, all of those things. One more other trending news issue here as we're coming up on this. So, Johnny, but guess what? One of the better ways to actually teach kids how to think critically, they can actually get into a discussion of where did this history content come from? So in other words, why do we learn about Martin Luther King last year? And why is this year Martin Luther King Jr. considered a controversial subject? Hey, let's study how history standards are made, because that might actually give us into insight. Makes me ask the question, though, would that be considered a subversive activity, actually teaching why Martin Luther King didn't make the cut? Hey, we'll figure it out more. Hold on.
Fox reports, boys in the rich. We gon' get America, whoa!
Busted Pencils is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs across the network weekday evenings at 6 p.m. To learn more about this show and all of Civic Media's programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows. News from the center, WRCE.
As a network, we're called Civic Media because a big part of it is we want to start modeling how civic discourse really should happen and being respectful of each other's opinions, even if you disagree, you know, like they should be given a platform.
If Rocker and I can get along, right, we can all get along.
I know,
along.
Exactly.
Right,
yeah.
Rocker?
Yeah, that's right, Jimmy.
Well, you do have a wall in between the two of you, so
glass.
It's like the
it's only glass.
Glass,
it's only glass. Tear down the walls. Listen to Max Inc. Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Todd Alba Show.
Trigvi Olsen, senior advisor to the Lincoln Project. They put out fake AI photos of
Taylor Swift saying that she endorsed him.
Right. And Trump retweeted that. And of course, all of that is untrue.
Don't mess with the Swifties. You'll have my daughters showing up.
I mean, it's a whole new level of Swift boating.
Trump and Las Vegas might get Swift boated, all right. Taylor Swift boated.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Up next on the Civic Media Spotlight, we go to Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. This week, Pat covers how the Inflation Reduction Act from the Biden-Harris administration is already making a difference in lowering long-term energy costs. Selena Heller takes us to Black River Falls to do the math on how an upfront tax credit for solar panels will save taxpayers' dollars.
The place is the motion, not reasons where
Frankie Valli, title track to Grease, the soundtrack for the motion picture. The motion picture was the big summer blockbuster of 1978. And that was the number one song on this day back in 1978. Reminder, you can sign up for our newsletter at upnorthnewswi.com. Again, upnorthnewswi.com. Selena Heller is back with us as well, working on stories for Up North News, headed back to her old stomping grounds in the BRF area to talk about the IRA, the Inflation Reduction Act. That and... let's see, there was also ARPA, the American Rescue Plan, and some of the other ways that the Biden administration, and now the Biden-Harris administration, has worked to increase energy efficiency, fight climate change, but also make the ways to do that more affordable. And it's that part, Selena, the affordability measure that Black River Falls and other school districts were wrestling with.
Right. So in Black River, I mean, the buildings and ground supervisor's name is Kent Weinman, and he's been wanting to do something like this, you know, talking about it for a lot of years, but it just never was attainable and it just never made sense. And so these projects were kind of put out to other entities before, homeowners and solar panels and things like that. But now they're open to nonprofits and schools and churches. And so they thought they would take advantage of it because now they can afford it and now it makes sense. And so he talked to me, we went up on the roof. And so I've never been on the roof of the high school. I mean, I spent a 4 years there, but so it was my first time on the roof, of course. And so he talked about now they get a 30% tax credit, which made it something that they wanted to do. This is Kent Weinman.
You look to lean towards on that solar, but then realize the price point is the payback wouldn't be for 20 years. We'd only get 5 years of free electric. When that 30% rebate came, that was the selling point right there. It's like, okay, these will be paid off in 12 years and we'll be running free.
And that's the important thing is to calculate that return on investment. I mean, again, it's very easy to for somebody to say, oh, well, free money. Sure. Well, let's put up solar panels. But then if they never actually pay for themselves, they're not worth the investment. But yeah, he definitely you get the impression from the story that you can read at upnorthnewswi.com. This is a guy that's run the numbers repeatedly to make sure that this works.
Oh, right. And they're called a legacy project because they have done so many updating projects and looking at all of their energy things from the company that installed the solar panels, because they've done so many upgrades in the HVAC system and LED lighting. And so he's really committed to kind of things like this and looking at projects. So what this is they... the energy offset is 22%. That's what they're hoping to get out of this. And then that's $15,000 a year in savings for them. And they got to focus on energy utility rebate for more than $13,000. And then the one-time Inflation Reduction Act tax credit of $87,000. So that's how it's a lot of numbers. But that now he talks about even more savings on top of that. And here's how he explains that.
You can save money in two different ways with the solar panels. The number that shows you saving $15,000 in savings in electrical savings, that's just part of the picture. Another part of the picture it got explained to me is, okay, you're saving $15,000 in cost, but that's also lowering our demand from the utility. And by lowering our demand from the utility, that can drop us into a lower rate. So we're saving $15,000 directly from our utility bill, but by dropping into a lower rate, we might be able to save another $10,000 to $15,000 just with our rate charge. So that's the hope, is maybe $25,000 in savings.
$25,000 in savings is nothing to sneeze at.
No, that's a big number. Yeah. Like, yeah, when you look at it that way, and then you see, then after this 12 years, they have the solar panels have a lifespan of 25. So in 12 years, they're paid for. So they have 13 years of all of this money coming back.
Yeah. And it's not, of course, just solar panels. You've already talked about school buses, electric buses, other district owned vehicles that could replace, you know, older fossil fuel burning models. But then there's also the angle as well that school districts can partner with the neighboring community or other communities to provide benefits to residents as well. There are just so many available options out there where, again, that tax credit comes to a nonprofit like a school district, basically in the form of a direct payment, which can help offset the cost of all these things. Now, interestingly enough, Selena, for all the talk about what was happening up on the roof, it's probably another project that he was working on at the time that gets more attention. The new scoreboard is that where the football team plays?
Well, right. Yeah. The day I was there, they were putting up a new scoreboard. And so he's like, okay, I'll meet you up on the roof in a little bit. And so he was over there and then we were doing that. And then the funny thing is, he's like, you know, that's a visible project. This project is not visible for people. So what we're doing is we want people to see this. And so we're putting a monitor in the foyer of the school. And so students can watch the energy usage and things like that and see that, you know, more energy is being received during the midday or whatever. So they can use it as a tool in their classroom and other people can see the project that's on the roof. You can put the solar panels in a field or whatever, but you can't see them on the roof. But a football scoreboard, you can see a big project like that. But he said, we want people to see this and see what we're doing here.
I love that. I love the idea of the monitor in the lobby that you can look at and, you know, actually see the benefit. I think more politicians ought to be doing that. If, you know, the Biden-Harris administration should have like these monitors or these billboards up, you know, that show the actual savings so that it's not just some kind of a concept, but that you see cold, hard numbers. And you know that some teacher somewhere is going to turn that into like, okay, today's math problem is to go out to the lobby and here's what it said last week. And basically the kids are going to calculate the savings to the taxpayer, you know, and sure. Look, and then
cloudy days versus yes. sunny days. And,
yes.
And here's a funny thing too, that, you know, people were like, what about snow? How's that going to work? And they produce just enough that the snow will melt off. And then it also acts as a cleaning of the solar panels when the snow slides off. So
exactly.
Snow is nice.
Yeah. I mean, for all the, you know, Trump makes all these jokes about, oh, what if it's cloudy? It's like, it still works. And even when it doesn't work, if there's battery backup or it just works at a lower level, like you said, yeah. And then you more than make up for it on some of those sunny days as well. Yep. Selena Heller, you can follow the story she's working on, upnorthnewswi.com or upnorthnews on your favorite social media posts for her videos. Thanks, Selena. Have a great day.
Thank you. You too.
All right. When we come back, some more voices from the Democratic National Convention, folks that we talked to, including the Assembly Minority Leader Greta Neubauer, coming up next here up north.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow is affiliated with the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on select Civic Media stations weekday mornings from 6 until 8. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. A fiery crash in Oregon today. Authorities say a twin-engine Cessna aircraft went down in a residential neighborhood outside Portland in the town of Fairview. Multnomah County Sheriff Deputy John Plock said the plane knocked down power lines and caused a brush fire then.
The aircraft crashed into a building of townhomes, and that structure also caught fire.
Doctors Without Borders issuing a statement saying Israel's military operations in the occupied West Bank are obstructing access to health facilities. The IDF says it's targeting Palestinian militants. In Gaza, the first of limited pauses in fighting began today, all to help facilitate polio vaccinations there for children. Health officials sounding the alarm on mosquito-borne illnesses in the U.S. Cases for West Nile virus and Eastern equine encephalitis are on the rise. Some scientists say climate change may be a contributing factor, with heat and heavy rains providing the perfect breeding ground for mosquitoes.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
The Packers beat the Ravens. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers won their final preseason game 30-7 over the Baltimore Ravens. Green Bay finishing with a preseason record of 2 wins and 1 loss. On defense, the Packers had 4 takeaways, including linebacker Christian Welch, who once played for the Ravens and is a native of Iola, Wisconsin, head coach Matt LaFleur.
He's just a smart, tough, physical player. I thought that interception that he had was an outstanding play. It looked like, to me, he baited the quarterback right there as a hook player and just made a great break on the ball and made the play. And then he had a heck of a return.
Who's going to be the Packers kicker? Greg Olsen and Anders Carlson both had field goals from beyond 50 yards out. Then Carlson missed wide right from just 32 yards out.
Both those guys went in there and hit a 54-yarder and a 55-yarder. And then there's a poor moment there where we miss a chip shot.
Baseball, Brewers and the A's tonight in Oakland. The Crew winning last night 11-3. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Sunny today, a high near 83. Mostly clear tonight, lows around 57. Sunshine and a high near 75 for Sunday. Mostly clear Sunday night, lows in the upper 40s. Sunny, 75 for Labor Day Monday. Tuesday, sunny and a high of 77.
Right now, it's 84.
CapTime's Idea Fest is back for a week of powerhouse speakers and sessions exploring important local and national topics. September 15th through the 21st in Madison. This year's guest speakers include Speaker Emerita Nancy Pelosi, former member of Congress Liz Cheney, Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson, and historian Heather Cox Richardson, along with many others. Idea Fest brings together changemakers to discuss Wisconsin's triumphs and failures to help reach a better state. Purchase your tickets today at CapTimesIdeaFest.com to join this premier thought festival.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute, and today I want to ask you a few questions before I get where I'm going. How would it feel if you woke up every day and you knew your bills were going to be paid on time? What would it be like if you were saving money and you knew that money was automatically going to the right savings accounts? Or that you knew how much money you had left over every month to spend on the things you like to spend on? Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Well, there is a free tool that you and anyone can use to help those things happen over time. It is called a budget. I know, your budget doesn't help you make more money, but it 100% does help you make more of your money. There are a ton of resources online to help you, including my videos at Work Money Media on YouTube. The first few sessions are the hardest when you get going, but I promise it gets easier when you stick with it. For more everyday money help, check out Work Money Media on YouTube. Until next time, I'm Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
Earl Ingram.
Mayor Brian Kennedy of Glendale.
I've heard Republicans say this is a coup. Nobody voted for Kamala Harris. Yeah, when I voted for Joe Biden in the primaries, I was voting for Kamala Harris to be his vice presidential running mate. In this case, Joe Biden stepped aside. We nominated Kamala Harris.
I think it's a little bit like the Dodgers complaining that the Braves starting pitcher who injured his shoulder yesterday isn't starting today.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we sit down and talk to labor leaders from all over Wisconsin for our Labor Day celebration. Please join us and happy Labor Day.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to the Civic Media Spotlight. We go now to the John and Gordy Show. This week, John and Gordy welcomed in Ben Penrod, organizer of Mad X, a Comic-Con and pop culture expo coming to Madison in a couple of weeks. To hear all of these shows anywhere in the world, check out the Civic Media app, available on the Google Play and Apple App Store.
This portion of the show is being brought to you by Einstein's Express, where we move your package so fast that we actually break the time barrier. In fact, we guarantee that your package will arrive at its destination at least 12 hours before you send it. Einstein's Express, when it absolutely, relatively has to get there the day before yesterday.
You know, I should have used that to get my ink cartridges for my printer.
Yeah, your printer hasn't worked for a couple of days.
For a couple of days, and it's very difficult to plan the show without having this stuff printed out in front of me.
You know, we have printers here at this office.
Yeah, I know, but it's like those. Last minute, and it's tough to put all this stuff together, you know.
it's hard to be you, isn't it?
It's hard to transition to the 21st century, isn't it?
I know, using paper again, and I'm really transitioning into the 21st century, guys. Thanks a lot.
Yes.
Right now, let's get to our first guest here, and it is Ben Penrod, and he organizes a lot of the Comic Cons in the region. And welcome to the program, Ben.
Good morning, Ben.
Yeah. Hi, thanks for having me.
And we're talking about the MadX Comic and Pop Culture Expo that's coming to the area. It's going to be here on Saturday and Sunday, September 14th and 15th, and it'll be going on at the Expo Center. One of the things that I am really interested in is that, you know, we've had a few of these Comic Cons here in the area, but this one, I mean, this is quite a lineup of guests that you have, celebrities showing up for this, and it's one of the big deals at these Comic Cons is getting somebody's signature or meeting some voice an actor that you haven't had a chance to meet before, even sign a comic book that you have. This is really a fantastic event. You have quite a lineup of guests this time around.
Oh yeah. Yeah. We're really excited. This is super, this is kind of a really maybe a little bit bigger lineup than I expected when I first started planning this.
Really?
We've got Tom Kenny, who's the voice of SpongeBob, who's, you know, arguably the biggest cartoon character of all time.
Yeah.
We've got the voices of Phineas and Ferb. We've got Rachel Lee Cook, Will Friedle, Alicia Witt, Ross Marquand. These are like huge actors. Ross is in X-Men 97 as well, as he's been in like The Walking Dead and a lot of other things.
Well, let me ask you about the X-Men 97. Is that a newer cartoon? That is a newer animation,
yes.
Right?
So they basically, the X-Men animated series from the 90s, they created a new season that started right after that one ended. So that's why they call it X-Men 97. Mm. It takes place in 97. And so we had booked this lineup for MadX a few months ago, and then when the X-Men series started airing, I started realizing that we actually had like half of the actors on the show already coming to MadX. It's actually really cool. So between Ross Marquand, David Arago Jr. and Ray Chase, I think we've got quite a bit of the X-Men 97 lineup.
That's incredible, because I have two Gen Zs at home, and they keep me updated on this, and they talked about X-Men 97, even watched an episode with them, and it was really interesting. I couldn't put my hand on whether it was a newer cartoon or an older cartoon, because they call it X-Men 97, and it's throwing me off completely. So
yeah, it's kind of a throwback. It's a really cool idea.
Yeah, it is. And I'm a big fan of the superhero movies, you know, do you have any guests from any of the big superhero movies that have been out?
So Ross Marquand, he played, he was the Red Skull in Avengers Infinity War and in Avengers Endgame. It's not like a major role, but he was in those.
Wow, that was great. That was great.
Yeah. And so, you know, I think we've got, I'm trying to think if we've got any other like major superhero folks. Alicia Witt was just in Long Legs. Mm-hmm. That's not a superhero movie. That was a Netflix movie.
Well, let's move on. Let's move on.
It's a lot more animation, like voice actors and stuff, and people who have been in TV shows, I think.
Well, that's one of the interesting things about this Comic-Con as well. I mean, you get to meet the voice actors, and it's, again, my Gen Z sons are very much into who acts when and how in what anime movie or television show that they've been watching, right? I mean, this is a big thing for them.
Oh, yeah, and the anime is super huge, super mainstream right now. If you go into like Hot Topic or GameStop at any mall, you'll just see lots of anime merchandise and stuff like that. So we've got lots of voice actors from, you know, My Hero Academia is a big one, Dragon Ball Z, One Piece, Attack on Titan, what is the other big one? We've got a Demon Slayer is another really big one.
Yes, yeah. Do you have...
No, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. It's pointing your finger.
Sorry. Go ahead.
Okay, all right. And plus, you know, you've got like gaming out there. You've got the comics. Do you have comic affiliates out there, like the comic stores, the collector's comics that people can buy or even sell their comics at?
Yeah, so we've got our list of exhibitors is on our website at madisoncomicexpo.com. Mm-hmm. And so you can kind of see what we've got. If you go on our website, you can kind of see what the list of exhibitors is. I know we've got a lot of comic shops set up, and if you have a collection that you'd like to sell, we definitely have vendors at MadX that will buy your collections for sure, or at least make an offer.
Right, exactly. I've gone through auction sites myself, like Metropolis Comics out in New York. They have Comic Connect, and they usually have a booth at the bigger events most of the time, and you can bring your comics in, and they take them and consign them and sell them at auction. So I was looking for that at your site. I don't think there are any of them at this
event. I don't think we've got somebody like Metropolis set up. I know we've got Patrick Sullivan with Updog Comics is going to be there. He's travels all over the country buying and selling comics. But I'd have to look at the list and see who else we've got. I know we've got, you know, probably 5, 6, 7 comic vendors at the con.
That's great.
We're talking with Ben Penrod. He's with MadX Comic and Pop Culture Expo. And Ben, how many of these expos do you put on a year? You organize these all over the country, right?
Yeah, we've got 7 or 8 shows. We're kind of based in the Midwest right now. We've got, aside from MadX, in November, we've got Twin Cities Con. And that's a pretty big show. And then in the spring, we've got Des Moines Con. And we also run cons in Florida and Alaska.
Now, you know, I've gone to a few of these comic cons. And it's fun to see there are little areas and groups.
Yeah.
Some are playing games. And they have guests who are... like hosting those games, and a lot of people are at their tables participating in the gaming part of it. Then you have, of course, the sessions where you can line up and visit with the guests that are there. But the, one of the things that I really enjoy, I'm a consumer. I love buying stuff. So, you know, you have the stores, you have all of the goods and souvenirs that you can buy. And I was looking through your rules, and I know I've been to comic cons where you can buy actual weaponry.
What?
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
Now you have a rule here where you can't have like metal or steel weaponry and swords and knives and things like that.
Frowned upon.
I've been at the comic con in Chicago, but they do have these things. These are actual real weapons.
So you can definitely buy a sword at MadX.
Okay.
But you won't be able to, you'll have to keep it in the box until you leave the building.
Okay. Well, that's good to know.
Right. Well, you know, they have people walking around in costumes, you know, and they have these gigantic swords and weapons.
So they have like, you know, they're like replica swords. So like, let's say you're a big fan of Lord of the Rings.
Okay.
You've got like a Lord of the Rings replica sword or from, you know, Game of Thrones, or a lot of anime have swords. So the replica sword business is a big deal at the con.
Well, I know. It is for me.
And you're required to wear costumes there. Is that gain admission to
No,
the...
No,
everybody does, right?
No, not everybody does.
All the pictures I've seen of you, you're always dressed in costume.
Ben, bail me out here. Not everybody has to wear a costume.
Everybody has to. It's highly encouraged. Highly encouraged, but you don't have to.
I took my entire family, and I was Dr. Strange, and my wife... What?
That's cool. That's really cool. I feel like you got to do this now.
Yeah, I know we're going to be there actually for this thing. And my son was Spider-Man from Home. What is the name of that movie?
No Way Home.
Oh no, yeah, No Way Home.
Is that right?
Yeah. He had the sweatsuit costume, and boy, the kids loved that. Oh, the kids loved it.
Yeah.
And
what was Anne dressed as?
She was Black Widow.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, and she was good.
And your other son?
A good Black Widow. And my other son was an anime character, which I cannot name because I don't know it. But he looked just like the anime character.
That was awesome.
Yeah, it was fun. It was crazy. Yeah.
I was going
to
ask.
I want to see this Doctor Strange. I think you'd make a great Doctor Strange.
Well, thanks. Yeah. We do have a picture someplace.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen that either.
Yeah.
I was going to ask. Dr. Strange. My high school actually ran a gaming convention. So I've been to that a couple of times. I've never been to an actual Comic-Con though. I'm sure that there, like you mentioned, vendors, there's cosplay, there's some gaming that goes on, and then all of the guests. Is there anything else that would be a big draw to the convention? Are there any like speakers or stuff like that happening?
Yeah, so we've got we call them panels, but it's, you know, Q&A sessions with the celebrities. Hmm. There are a few other things like maybe some workshops. We've got Jerry Shepherd, who is an author, and she runs a lot of like author type workshops. She does a lot of sci-fi writing, and so there's a lot of cool, like, you know, kind of educational and informational stuff. But again, our whole schedule is on our website if you take a look at it.
Yeah.
And there's just a lot of Q&As with the celebrities, but also, you know, just kind of me scrolling through here real quick. Oh, there's the costume contest, obviously. That's like the big thing that ends each day. That's a big deal, but well, you know,
I wasn't even a part of any of those in the Chicago one. Man, I wish they had it at the time.
So we have one on Saturday and on Sunday.
Yeah,
you know, but looking at other things, there's a, you know, it looks like we have a panel all about cosplay wigs.
Yeah.
So if you want to, you know, learn about cosplay wigs, 2 p.m. on Sunday.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
I'd love to have that.
What is cosplay?
What is that?
Oh, so like cosplay is like people who dress in costumes. It's like if you go to the convention dressed in a costume, that's just called cosplay.
Yeah.
So like if
dressing
you're,
up as a character, it's short dressing for up costume as a character, play, yeah. I believe.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. That,
so
you know, I got to tell you that we walked down State Street.
Yeah.
In our costumes, right after that, when we got it back up here, we went down there, and you know, and people were shouting at my son who played Spider-Man, and they were saying, "Thank you, Spider-Man!" You know, just like in the movie.
That is so weird.
This is one of my favorite things about running these conventions is just kind of being around the area as it gets taken over by people in costumes.
Yes.
And then you've just, you know, you've got some random person walking down the street like, what's something's happening in town.
Yeah.
Yeah. My son, when, you know, a few people did shout that. In fact, a little children did the same thing. It's like right out of the movie. He turned to me and says, "I think that guy is drunk." it upset him.
Well, Ben, we're all out of time, but thank you for joining us. It's Ben Penrod from the Mad X Comic and Pop Culture Expo. It's going on at the Alliance Center September 14th and 15th. And what's the website to go to, Ben, if people want more information?
Yes, MadisonComicExpo.com.
Very good. Thanks again for being with us. Have fun at the
Expo. Sounds like a lot of fun.
Thank you.
We'll probably see you there, definitely.
See you in 2 weeks.
All right.
Good deal.
No problem.
7:49, we're coming back with Leftovers, This, That, and the Other, Odds and Ends, all on the John and Gordy Show, WMDX.
The John and Gordy Show is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on WMDX weekday mornings from 6 until 8. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows. News from the Center, WRCE.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in quick podcast form? Search no more. Find it now on the WRCE website at wrce.fm, your news just for the Richland Center area. I'm Joanne Krulatz with WRCE News.
Out here in the middle of all these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on Earth. And sometimes that's how it feels when you're going through tough times. Trouble sleeping? Your mind racing? So what do? We get help. There are people in our community who are here for us. Sometimes just talking to someone can make all the difference in the world. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Wrapping up hour one of the Civic Media Spotlight, we go to the Earl Ingram Show, where this week Earl was joined by Dr. Kwaku Rommel Smith, a licensed psychologist, social activist, and father. The pair discuss global dangers as well as local issues that impact the development of our children and the health of our society.
All right. Welcome back to the last few minutes of the Earl Ingram Show. Man, I don't know where the time went, Doc. Man, we got to do this again, man. Dr. Rommel Smith, the blacksmith that's plying his trade. Nobody does it better. I want to go right to the phone lines and Mike from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Mike. You say what?
Hey, good morning. Thanks for taking my call as always. You know, I'm very interested in what the doctor's talking about, and I'm looking for, I don't know, verification. You know, I suspect when the media changed away from having a fiduciary responsibility to basically, you know, all fair business responsibility, along with that, then the divide and conquer messaging of fear and mistrust permeating the media ever since the 90s, and quite frankly, it's gotten worse. I want to get the doctor's thoughts on the media's role in creating this somewhat of a disconnect from reality.
Hey, Mike, thank you very much for the call. Doc?
No, Mike, you know, your callers, that's why I love listening to your show, because your callers are always on point. And when I listen to Mike, that's absolutely it. And so, you know, obviously as a psychologist, we talk about the psychology of media. We talk about the psychology of marketing. And when you look at who own all of the major broadcasters, it goes back into the almighty dollar. And so what is the whole purpose of it? Long lost are the days of the people like Walter Cronkite, the people who you could look at and see, hey, this is going to be an objective news. We're going to give you the facts and the data and let you look at it yourselves. But now when we see the news where you say, they have the fear mongering, you have partisan politics, and then it's all controlled by the dollar. Because when you look and see who owns the company, the biggest thing I learned was to FTD, follow the dollars. And when you see where the dollars go to, you see who owns everything and then what they're trying to create. And what, like I said, is they do create division. They do create a fear. And all of these things is what brings out the worst in society. As we had left right before with the last caller, we said, what's the most important part? What's the nurturing? So what environment are you raised in? Again, we go back to the sun, caravan of love. If we put our people around loving and caring, I know it seemed a little, you know, like you say, oh, this is this really realistic? You know, it's like got an Elysian kind of feel to it, utopian state. But when we can do decency, even if you say we can't do love, but if we can do respect versus fear, hate, comparing, dragging people down, you're going to create a different human being. And what our news does, it with the propaganda, it propels us and props us. If you listen to a person who only listens to Fox News, they're going to be slanted in a different way. And that's how you can even get extremes as QAnon, because people fall down that rabbit hole of nonsense, and it can go to the far on the left also. So what it comes to is about how can we have a balanced approach so we can really be equally educated. But within our education system, it doesn't allow us to become critical thinkers. And so it teaches us to be programmed robots. So when we hear things, we automatically believe it without fact checking. And it allows us to set those ideologies, and those ideologies, like Mike stated, usually puts us in opposition to the people who we should be aligned with.
Let's go to Tom from LA. Good morning to you, Tom. Thank you. You say what?
Good morning, Earl. First, we the people ultimately are the government, so we must never forget that. However, we do need to get money completely out of politics, because since Citizens United, Buckley versus Vallejo, and First National Bank versus Bilotti, those are the three Supreme Court decisions that have made it where our politicians don't have the courage to actually stand up and say we need to get money completely out of politics and we need public funding of elections. If we did that, we could probably get back to where we are. I want to ask the doctor, what would you recommend so we can get money out of politics, lobbyists out of Washington, and restore government back to we the people?
Hey, John, thank you for the call. Go ahead.
And I know we're running short on time, but I think that's the scariest part, because if you look at like what's on Agenda 47 or Project 2025, these are the things that I think make that even further possible. Noam Chomsky wrote a book called Requiem for the American Dream, and he talked about how the dream was being denied. When you look at the regulatory agencies that were put in, the FDA, the EPA, things of this nature to make sure everything was under control, what happened? You had regulatory capture where the lobbyists then, not only did they were able to pay off the people who were in charge of these places, they started to put their people in charge. So there was no safeguards, no safe rails. And so when you look at a Supreme Court that's supposed to be nonpartisan, but it's very partisan, that lets you know that our democracy, when they talk about how fragile it is, we are in that fragile state. When I talk about we are a nation in decline, that is the thing. The question is, can we recapture it? And the only way we can recapture it, if really we the people put a halt to it. But what the things that are inside what our society right now is making it more difficult for us to be able to pull it back in before we find ourselves in an autocratic monarchy fascist state. And that's where we're headed if we don't be careful.
So, Dr. Smith, quickly, I live in the city where young people, unfortunately, have given up, many of them, and who think that they're not going to live to be 15 years old. And so they have guns. Somebody made sure that 12-year-olds and 15-year-olds have access to automatic weapons. And these young people are, as you stated, stealing cars, and they're wreaking havoc. And, you know, and the police and people, the police can't solve these problems. And yet we keep hearing people say more police, more jails. What are they missing?
But it's just like you said, they want to solve a problem by not really looking at the problem. When we talk about a budget of a country, that's going to give you, that's the moral document in which they tell you what's important. And until we start to see the finances put in, the policies and procedures put in place to be able to give those who are the least of society a chance to really be able to live the true American dream, where you're supposed to be able to rise as high as your ability would allow you to, but everybody has that fair and equal chance, we're going to see a society exactly where it is. And a lot of times people don't like to hear this. And this is, again, to the just the last caller. It's like, how do we get it back? The question is, most societies are greedy, and the greed usually chokes them out to the point that it destructs their society. And that's where we're headed.
Hey, Doc, man, can we do this again sometime?
Yes, sir, 100%.
Oh, man. Yeah,
that's an easy yes.
Oh, well, we're definitely going to make this happen. Man, thank you very much. Kiss the babies. I saw your wife and your daughter at an event last Saturday in the community. So, man, so
good.
Yeah, so we'll be talking soon, man. Thank you. Love you. Love you.
All love.
Thank everybody who made the show go. Calvin, as always, thank you to listening audience. Without you, we couldn't do it. Up next, Greg Box standing in for Jane Mettner. Hey, be safe. Enjoy. You know, the rest of the day.
The Earl Ingram Show is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on select Civic Media stations weekday mornings from 8 till 10. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I'm in my new time slot from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. And we'll be doing my show from Madison, where joining me in studio will be award-winning filmmaker and record producer Wendy Schneider.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
Are you ready to give your business a kickstart? Reach new heights and boost your sales with WRCO Radio. Give Henry a call today at 608-647-2111.
WRCO, this is Henry. How can I give you the business?
That's 608-647-2111. Let WRCO drive your business to success.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franz, and crews on scene in Oregon after a twin-engine plane crashed into townhomes today in the community of Fairview outside Portland. At least four homes caught fire. Residents were evacuated. Gresham Fire Department Chief Scott Lewis says they're still working to locate three people.
Initial report says that there were two occupants on the airplane, and we're missing one residential occupant from the condo unit.
The cause of the crash still unknown. Temporary pauses in fighting began today in Gaza, all to help facilitate polio vaccinations for children after months of war. And Israeli forces today say they've located several bodies in the Gaza Strip following combat, but have not yet identified them. Mosquito-borne illnesses, a growing concern in the U.S. Health experts have confirmed deaths in several states due to West Nile virus, and cases of the infection are also on